The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And we've been talking about the economy of God, how it's different than our economy, different in so many ways, how God gives bread to eat, and to the one who sows, he provides seed. In other words, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, being all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. God brings about the sufficiency you need. That's been the point of this sermon in God's economy. We're going to continue in just a moment as we come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been looking at verses 8 and beyond, and this powerful, wonderful passage of Scripture that teaches us how God handles money, how he works his economy. You know, he's bigger than we are, and he's outside of this economy that we live in. We need to trust in the eternal economy of God, not this economy that we've got in our society. We were talking about two widows when we left off, the widow of Zarephath and the widow who gave her mite. These were two widows who gave the last of what they had, and God took care of them. That wouldn't work in our economy, but it works well in God's economy.
Those two widow women could have said, no, this is all we've got. We've got to hoard it. We've got to keep it. We've got to protect it. We've got to stretch it as far as we can do it. Or we can be obedient to the word of the Lord, and we can give it away sparingly, bountifully, beautifully, as a blessing. And they did just that, and God proved himself here. The one who scatters abroad, he gave to the poor. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. But his almsgiving, his good deeds, as it's used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, don't exercise your righteousness before men in order to be praised by them. That word righteousness there is the almsgiving. Don't exercise it before men to be admired by men, but rather do this in secret and do it for God. Here's the one who comes and he gives and he gives and he gives. Have you ever heard the preacher say that little saying, you can't outgive God? Sure you have. Where does that come from in the Bible? Right here. It does. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't outgive God. But here's what it says, isn't it? You can't outgive God. Because God's economy is when you abound to every good work, he's going to take care of you. I know that some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'm going to give someday when I have lots of money. No, that's not how God's economy works. God's economy says, right here, right now, begin to give. I had a testimony of someone who said they heard a sermon like this years and years ago. It was a single mom, and she was just struggling to pay the bills, and heard this sermon, and she says, I'm going to let her tell the story someday for you, but she says she was just really kind of ignoring the Sunday school lesson because she knew it didn't apply to her because this was for the rich people in the class. And she had a brave enough Sunday school teacher that called her up and said, I noticed you weren't listening Sunday. Can you imagine that? And she says, well, no, I wasn't. I'm a single mom. I don't have anything to give. Said, by the time I pay the rent and the bills, I've just barely got enough money for groceries. And this woman said, I tell you what, you give your grocery money, and if you ever go hungry, you can eat at my house. And our church member took her up on it. And she said, she saw her the next Sunday, and she said, I got enough groceries to get us through till Tuesday. And she said, well, come eat Tuesday night if you need to. And our church member said, on Monday, she got a check in the mail, a refund of a deposit from the from the utility company. Went on, she spent that, and well, that's a fluke, you know, and wasn't before long, and until her boss called her in and said, you know, this other assistant has left, and you're being promoted up here. Now you got some more money. She said she never had to go over to that lady's house to eat. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't understand how he meets those needs. But he tells us here he's certainly able to do so. But notice that that's what God can do. I think we've got to do our part here in our bountiful, purposeful, cheerful giving, abounding to every good work. God takes care of us. He can take care of us. But look at when he gets into verse 10, he says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. Here, we have not God's ability, but God's declaration. He will do it. He will do it. Why will he do it? Because it will increase the harvest of your righteousness. So we're told what God can do, he can make every grace abound towards you. What will he do when you come in and say, I'm going to scatter abroad, I'm going to give to the poor? God says he will supply seed to the sower. He doesn't supply seed to the one who stores it. He supplied seed to the one who sows it, who puts it out there, who plants it. It says he will provide bread for food. That's interesting that those words are used. It seems like a little obvious repetition. What else do you use bread for, right? And literally in the Greek, it says he will provide bread for eating. That is, he's going to put the daily bread on your table. He's going to take care of you. He may not provide all the storage you want to say, you know, I can get through the next 15 years should the grocery stores cut down. I am ready. I hope you put some of that aside and are ready for that day. But here it says he provides seed for the one who's going to plant it. He provides bread for the one who's going to give it away so it can be eaten. Bread for eating, he will provide.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
Now, there's God's ability and God's declaration, what he can do, what he will do when you come in and join his economy. Now, when you do that, I think there are some results that come, results of giving in God's economy. And I want to share six of them very quickly here as we go through the rest of these verses. And the first one is there in verse 10, where it says, he will increase the harvest of your righteousness. That is, he will increase the fruit, literally is what it says, of your righteousness. That is, your righteousness, let's remember that as almsgiving. He will increase the harvest of your almsgiving. That is, he takes this little penny ante gift that you can give, and he leverages it and makes it go a long way. There's an increased harvest to what you gave. Remember the greatest example of generosity in the world. Whenever Christian generosity is preached or taught in the church anywhere around the world today, there's always one woman who comes up in the story. You remember that? The woman who gave the widow's mite. She didn't give much, did she? Worth about 2 cents, maybe. That she pours out, and yet, man, hadn't God leveraged that gift? I mean, how many billions of dollars have been put into to the work of the Lord because that little widow woman gave, and God increased the harvest of her almsgiving, didn't he? You consider what churches do today with the money that's given to them. Now, churches in one sense have a lot of money, But just compare it to something else. Compare income to churches worldwide, for example, to the pornography industry. You'll find out the churches have no money at all. Or compare income to churches to the gambling industry or the alcohol industry, whatever, the entertainment industry. I mean, churches just have a little sliver, and yet look at what they do in the world. Why? Because God increases the fruit of their almsgiving. God leverages that and allows that to go far beyond anything the world could ever imagine. Now, that's the one benefit, is he increases the harvest of your righteousness. There's probably some eternal benefits there as well we could talk about if we had time on another occasion. But in verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality. So a benefit when you begin to give is that God enriches you for the purpose of liberality. Now, this is probably the only time this year you're ever going to hear me preach that I think you should become more liberal. That's not going to happen much. But in terms of your giving, you ought to be a liberal giver. You ought to be a bountiful giver. And so when we come and we say, okay, I'm going to participate in God's economy by my almsgiving, then he says he will enrich you for. Now, that's not for, the Greek word is not for as because of, but it is for as for the purpose of. God enriches you for the purpose of your liberality in giving. Some of us have been enriched for that very purpose. As we continue in verse 11, it says, which, that is, that liberality of our giving, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. So one of the benefits of our giving is that we produce worship towards God. Here it is, thanksgiving. Don't you love to be thanked for something? God loves that too. The scripture is very clear. In fact, when 10 went away, healed, and only one of them came back, what was his question? Where's the other nine? Everyone likes to be thanked, don't they? And God's especially. In verse 11, it says, when you give, it produces thanksgiving to God. In verse 12, it says at the end of that verse, it is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. In verse 13, in the middle of the verse, it says, they will glorify God for your obedience. So when you are a generous giver, you are producing something which God is pleased with, which God enjoys, which God is blessed by. And don't you want to be one who produces things that God likes? And here's how you can produce worship towards God by your almsgiving, your generosity. Now, there's a fourth thing that comes about as a benefit when we get in on God's economy. And it says here in verse 12, it says, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints. Now, isn't that a great benefit in and of itself? It meets the needs. Needs that are out there, real needs. Here in this case, it was some poor believers in the city of Jerusalem who had a tremendous need, and this gift would meet that need. Here, once a year in our church, we take up the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions, and it goes to some 5,000 missionaries who are scattered around the world, and it meets the financial needs they have in order to carry out the ministry that is theirs. And so here's a rich benefit of coming into God's economy, is that God is using me to meet the needs of the laborer on the other end, or someone who is hurting on the other end, and I am able to participate in that in ministering to those needs of the saints. Now, we come on down to verse 13, and there's another reason and result of our coming into God's economy. It says, because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel. It gives proof to your confession, to your profession of faith. Obedience to the confession of the gospel. Most of you in this room have made a confession of the gospel. You've made a profession of faith, as we call it. And here, Paul says, when you come in on God's economy and you say, I trust him that when I give it away, he is able to take care of me. He is able to abound to me so that I can continue to abound towards every good work. I trust him that when I'm generous, I'm not going to run out of my money. I'm not going to spend myself or give myself into the poorhouse. It says, here's some proof that I actually believe what this says. You know, we talk about being people of the book. Oh, I trust the word. If God said it, that settles it. Well, you want me to give more? I can't give more. I can't afford that. We speak with forked tongue, don't we? Here it says we give proof to the profession of our faith.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment.
Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
As we continue looking at these reasons here, it speaks about, as we continue on, obedience to the confession of the gospel in verse 13, for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Now, what this does is that it places us in a position where there is a partnership, a fellowship with others, a unique bond with those to whom we give. When you give a gift to someone, they're appreciative, aren't they? They care for that, and they're blessed by that. And here it says, your contribution, to the liberality of your contribution to them all. You know, the most literal interpretation of that is the sincerity of your koinonia, is the word there for contribution, the sincerity of your fellowship with them. They realize, hey, this is a real deal here that they're talking about. They're not just yakking down there at the church, but they really do believe it, and there becomes a unique bond that is taking place there where they yearn from you. Now, that's the results of getting into God's economy. What's the foundation of it all? It's there in verse 15 where it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. A gift which we can't even begin to put words to. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We give because God first gave, don't we? Now, I want to challenge you on something. I want to give you a little 30-day challenge, and here it is. I want you to put God's economy to the test. Let's see if it's really, really true in this taking part with a generous heart challenge. 30 days, what I want you to do is to say, I am going to give some kind of gift every time I have opportunity to do so. And then I'm going to take unexpected blessings and I'm going to add them back into my giving fund so that I can abound to every good work that's going to come. You know what I'm asking you to do? I'm asking you to go home today and by yourself or with your family, I'm asking you to pray about some money that you can give away. Put it into your giving fund. Maybe $10 for some of you teenagers that you can give away. I imagine you could all scrape up $10. If you can't, come over and I'll let you wash my car and give you $10 to start with. Everybody can come up with a little bit of something to say, this is going to be my giving fund for the next 30 days. Some of you need to make like a $50,000 giving fund. But you'll set that money aside and say, I'm going to give this away. Not necessarily all to one time in one place, but every opportunity that comes that I'm able to give into the work of the Lord, I'm going to find a way to give to it. I'm going to be generous out of that fund. And then every little unique blessing that comes along my way, I'm going to replenish the fund. Here's what I want you to watch. That unexpected deposit check that came back to you in the mail. Don't go spend it. Catch it. Stick it back in. That time you go to Whataburger on Tuesday and someone buys your $5.64 number one, then say, you know, I would have spent that $5.64. I saved that $5.64. I'm putting $5.64 back into the envelope, back into the fund. And I just want you to see if God's economy doesn't really work. See if you can't outgive God. So many principles in the Bible on where you should give. If a man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel, the scripture said. The church from whom you receive your core Christian teaching, the scripture says, ought to get a primary portion. Those who are of the household of faith, the scripture says, ought to be priority to you. There's some concentric circles that are out there. You ought to study that on your own. How do I determine where to give? But I want you to set aside some money, 10 $10, $10,000, whatever it is. Say, Lord, over the next 30 days, I'm going to give away this money as I have opportunity. When I can abound to every good work, I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to see about God's economy. Is he really able to make all grace abound toward me so that I can continue? If I scatter abroad, give to the Lord, is he able to replenish that so that I can continue to scatter abroad and give to the Lord? You know what? I think God will be trying to do this. Join me on this.
Well, certainly God will be faithful to his word. And I hope you will join me on this challenge, the challenge to be a giver. What a difference it'll make in your life and in mine, because God loves a cheerful giver. We have to get beyond giving under compulsion and come to where? Out of the grace of God. Not under some legalistic tendency and not under something that someone else may place us under, but out of the desire of our heart to be an expression of God's grace, let's become givers. You know, it was at the beginning of the month that we began this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart, looking at the example that the Macedonians gave, even in their poverty, they overflowed in an abundance of wealth. What an example of giving. And the motivation that we had towards giving that was given in the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we looked at the integrity of giving and how Paul handled that Christian gift. Sadly, it's not always happening in today's world. We looked at the enemy of giving. You know him, is that green-eyed monster called envy. And then we've looked these last several days at God's economy. It's been 5 sermons that have encouraged us towards a biblical generosity. I hope the series has been a blessing to you. Of course, you can get the archives at randywhiteministries.org. Those of you who are Club 8 members, we have free downloads available on the website. Would love to talk to you about that. Or we would like to just have you call us today and order this series, the 5 sermons. We'll be happy to put them in the mail to you, a $16 donation, or you can go to the website and get it for a $10 download. It's www.randywhiteministries.org. More information in just a moment on how to get this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart.
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org. Or you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494.
Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel, unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
On Friend of Zion, we have been walking through Zechariah, and we saw yesterday that the Lord promised a day when Jerusalem would be inhabited without walls. Well, I believe that that prophecy has been fulfilled in our day. But the Lord goes on in Zechariah 2, verse 5, saying, "For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." Now, how in the world can the Messiah be the glory in the midst of Jerusalem without the second coming? See, it's impossible. So, I think what we see here is a little bit of a timeline. The Lord, through this prophecy of Zechariah, is telling us that the day will come when Jerusalem would dwell without walls, be inhabited without walls because of the multitude within it. Now, from Zechariah's day up until modern times, that was not fulfilled. But in our day, it has been fulfilled. Now, if I'm right that this is a timeline, then the next thing on the timeline is, I will be glory in her midst. We look forward to the second coming of Christ, whom we believe to be the Jewish Messiah. Now, moving on, the scripture gives a call for the Jewish people to return when it says, "Ho Zion, escape, you who are living within the daughter of with the daughter of Babylon, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory, he has sent me against the nations." Did you notice that? After glory, he has sent me to avenge the nations. Now, first he says, Jerusalem will dwell uninhabited. And then he says, I will be glory in her midst. And then he says, after glory, I will go up against the nations. That is, the prophecy of Zechariah says, someday, first, the city will dwell without walls. Next will be the second coming, the arrival of the Messiah. And then will be the judgment of the nations. After glory, after I am glory in her midst, then I will go against the nations. This teaching is consistent throughout all of Scripture. Would you pray with me for the peace of Jerusalem? Heavenly Father, we are so thrilled to live in the days in which you are fulfilling prophecy. And it is a special thrill to know that Jerusalem is inhabited without walls, and to know that you have said when this happens, under these kind of conditions, that you will be glory in her midst. And we say with the Apostle John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Dr. Randy White. This is friendofzion.com. Won't you go and join our mailing list today or like us on Facebook?